How do I know if this is even working?
Ladies of the LLLLV.
Thank you. I'll be here all year. Or as long as you listen. Or really just whichever comes first or is better. Okay, I'm gonna stop talking now. Bye.
It's Bowie.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to episode 12 of Ladies of the LV. We're prepared this time. We actually know what episode number it is, Amy.
Lots of prep work on this one.
Amy's in her third trimester of pregnancy.
This is true.
I know you were all wondering. I'm so hot
in this apartment.
Shut up.
She's turned off the air conditioner.
The air conditioner is blasting. I just turned off the fan. So it wouldn't interfere with the microphones, and I feel bad, and Amy is...
I'm fine.
She's capitalizing on my guilt.
I'm fine.
Are you sure?
But we're here with...
Wait! Hold on!
Oh, sorry. I jumped the gun.
We're waiting to introduce her. We have things to say. Are you nervous? Your hormones are raging. I can feel them.
I'm so pregnant.
I want a little update on your pregnancy before we get to our guest. How are you feeling?
What would you like to know?
I want to know, do you feel like there's an alien growing inside
yes,
you?
Yes, I do, right at this moment.
Can I reveal a gender on this?
Sure, go ahead.
When she kicks or, like, pushes, is that a weird feeling?
Kind of, yeah. Well, it's getting more pronounced. I mean, obviously, the more she sticks out there, yeah.
Are you feeling the maternal vibes?
Well, I don't know. It's hard to know that now. I mean, it's... doesn't feel real, I guess, until she's out there. Right now, she's hanging out in here.
It's probably nice in there.
I don't know. I feel like it's hot. Probably hotter than this apartment.
Oh, my God!
Oh!
Do you have a name picked out for her?
Yeah, but I'm not... I can't say that.
But will you tell me later?
No.
What if I guess it?
No. You're not gonna guess it.
I might.
How did you guess it?
I'm very creative.
Yeah. There's okay. A lot of names out there.
There are. I'll find a list. I'll guess letters and syllables. What if I guess syllables?
Still not going to tell you.
All right. Are you craving anything other than pizza combos?
No. That is it right there.
Really?
Well, this is the first time we've ever had combos for this. And this should be an every time thing, obviously.
Okay. Another question.
This is all I need in life.
People are wondering. They're asking me.
No one is wondering. No one's asking.
Yeah, I'm getting so many calls.
That's not happening.
What's going to happen when you give birth and you, like, are mothering your baby? Will you come back as hosting Ladies of the LV?
Well, of course. Why not? I mean, life doesn't end with motherhood, I hope.
But what if you're breastfeeding?
I'll just whip it out right here. You won't care, right?
That would be everything I've ever
wanted.
Let
them out. Yeah. Well, problem solved.
And, like, can I acknowledge it? Like, oh, Amy's breastfeeding right now.
Oh, I want you to acknowledge it. You need to tell everyone. Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. I think we've answered the people's question.
Have we?
Well, here's the thing. The other day, everyone, I posted on Insta, if you want to follow me, it's at VEEBOCIAN. It's at VBOCIAN. And I posted to get, like, some nominations because I just want to expand my horizons and not always tap into, like, my BFFs. Not that you're not my BFF, Karina. Because, you know, we go way back. But I got a great response. And so I'm excited to start, like, branching out, getting people who I don't really know that well. And so if you are listening and you know anyone... find me on Insta, DM me, email the blog, veronicawithaglassofbubbly.com, or just run past Amy's house. Mm-hmm. She lives at...
Hey, now. Come on.
All right. So, that being said, super pumped to introduce our 12th guest, Karina Bowie.
Our 12-year-old guest.
She's not 12. How old are you?
I'm 23.
23.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things I'm really excited about, Karina, is that, a couple of things. One, we haven't known each other that long.
True.
So I'm going to be, like, getting to know you on this podcast just like everyone else.
Oh, my God.
Although I was asking, I know, I got some background info, and, like, there's so much, there's so much we need to talk about. It's actually incredible.
Wow. So buckle up.
Buckle up, everyone.
Yep.
don't you love doing that
again?
Did you do it?
Yeah.
Karina has support here, too, by the way. Julia, do you want to say hi?
Hi, everyone.
She's here for spiritual support.
She actually is just, like, in love with Veronica. Oh, so
wow.
Aren't we all? Her.
This is the time.
Let's be real.
We all are. Time have a conversation alive. About that. I'm just kidding. Okay. So, what was I going to say? Okay, so, don't know Karina as well as I thought I did. Well, once I started to get this,
it sounds like ominous or something.
No, like
Karina has lied to me my whole time.
There's just so many layers to you that I guess you should always know that there are layers to people. But like, right. I was, as you were coming here, I honestly was like, what am I going to ask her about? And then I was getting this background info and there's so much. But also the other really cool thing I would say is a lot of the women that we've had on here are, like, super established in what they're doing, and Karina's at a point in her life where she's, like, really trying to figure it out, and I think a lot of people can relate to that. I think everyone's still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Right?
That never goes away.
Mm-mm. Tell your daughter that.
I will. First thing, as soon as she comes out. Listen up, girl.
Amelia.
No. Her name's actually gonna be Karina.
Oh my god! Surprise! Perfect.
Just met.
All right. Math. So, Karina Bowie, I always love to start with how we met. And one of the really great things about Karina is that she's one of those people that just makes you laugh without trying. Like, I feel like if I walk in the room and I see Karina's face, is she kicking right now?
None of your business.
Tell me, I want to feel it.
It's hard different for me to sit forward.
Oh, do you want to lie down?
No.
We can move my room.
Weird. Weird. No.
Nobody would know.
There you go.
Let me put my head in your lap.
Tell Shavonda to relax.
That's her middle name.
Shadasha.
We know the person, obviously.
L-A-dash.
Okay, I have to stay on track. This is going to be so hard because Karina's here.
This is going to be a two-hour podcast.
So, Karina and I met because she is the production stage manager at Civic Theater. For those of you who don't know what Civic Theater is, shame on you. But it is an amazing theater in the west end of Allentown. Is like the official name the Civic Theater?
It's a Weston Theater District. And it's called Civic Theater of Allentown.
Civic Theater of Allentown.
Yes.
It's probably good.
It used to be called Civic Little Theater back in the day. But they changed it. I don't know why. I've heard the story plenty of times. It just didn't process, but it used to be Civic Little Theater. And then they expanded to Civic Theater of Allentown. They used to just show movies, and then they brought live theater in later on.
Girl.
So.
You got the history down.
I've only worked there for 2 years. Like, I was always just like, tell me more. Like, what's up? Like, tell me about Civic, so.
So what drew you to Civic as the stage manager?
Funny story. When did I start there 2 years ago? 21. I was at a point in my life where I was like, I'm going to give up on theater, and I don't want to do anything in theater at all. And then my mom, I was like literally up in my attic, basically laying down on my floor like a snow angel, like crying, going, I'll never get a job in theater. What am I doing? And then my mom called me on my cell phone, and I answered, I was like, hello. And she's like, hey, I just saw this really cool posting, like Civic Theater is looking for a spotlight operator. And I was like, okay. She's like, you should email the person on the information on the website. So I, like, go downstairs all, like, mad and everything. I think I was probably, like, a little tipsy, too. And I was like, okay, I'll, like, apply to Civic. And so I emailed Will. And I was like, hey, like, I'm interested in your spotlight position. And I was just like,
is that actually how the email went?
I still have it saved. Do you want me to read it?
I want you to forward it to me at a later date so I can relish in that.
Yeah.
And
I was like, I'm going to have to send a resume. Like, that's not going to happen. I'm like, I went and saw Will a couple of days later. I'm like, he gave me the job through the email, but I trained two days after my 21st birthday.
Wow.
And, yeah, I became a spotlight operator, and then all of our stage managers left. Our longtime stage manager, Emily Heller,
took a break, and then they couldn't find anyone. Then they found some people, but they wanted someone more permanent. And I was like, I mean, like, I have some stage management background. Like, I did it all throughout high school. And Bill's like, why didn't you tell me this earlier? And I was like, I don't know. You needed spotlight operators, so I didn't say anything. So he's like, we'll be in touch. And Secret Garden was my first show. I was supposed to co-stage manage with someone. And he had to get this big surgery. And so he ended up dropping out. So it ended up being my first show back in, like, what, 4 years after not stage managing. So, yeah, it was a huge show to do, too.
Oh, my gosh. I had no idea.
Yeah, so why were you were you discouraged at that point? Because you had tried, you'd applied for jobs, and nothing was coming through.
It was more so, like, I was in... I wasn't really doing anything with my life, I felt. Like, I was
You're
just
so
like,
young, man, though. I mean, you still are young.
So, wait, have you ever seen Gilmore Girls? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you Love know it. How Richard is always just like, oh, that one episode, he's like, 21-year-olds should know what they're doing, where they're going, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, I'm about to hit 21. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going.
Listen, didn't Richard die of a heart attack? That should tell you something right there.
I mean, yeah, but I was just, yeah. I was like going stressing. Stress. I was stressing about it. I'm just like, I'm 21. All my friends are graduating from college, and I'm not, and I don't know what to do. And it was just like... It was a mess.
Young life crisis.
Yeah, like, I was like, I had nothing to worry about. I was 20, like, my parents weren't kicking me out, and I was like, actually had life pretty good, but I was like, what am I doing? I'm suffering, so.
So, life led you exactly where you needed to be, because I think you're freaking killing it, as Amy would say. Thanks.
That's more your thing.
No, you, she came here to argue. That's her goal.
I'm pregnant.
She can do whatever she wants. She's pregnant.
A stranger let her into this apartment building. I'm like, just because you're pregnant, they think they can trust you?
Well, the guy heard you yelling out the window. So
maybe that's
why. I
think
he fell back.
You should have pulled a pocket knife on him.
That's what you get, mister.
Yeah.
Okay, so Karina and I met because she was stage managing a show that I was in. And I think I was trying to pinpoint the exact moment we met.
Well, technically, auditions.
But really, we...
But really, the read-through.
The read-through.
Yeah.
And I liked your Chewbacca keychain.
Yep.
And I later just learned that you are this presence of, like, pure, lighthearted humor. Like, have you ever just met someone that you just feel, like, giddy and silly around?
Sure.
That's how she is. Like, she just makes you laugh. There was this part in our show where she had to pretend to be the teacher from, like, Charlie Brown and the Penis that does
the voice.
The wah-wah-wah. Yeah. But she had her own spin on it that was, like, very bird-like.
Bird-like?
It was, like, a pigeon, I would say.
How early was it when we did this? It was, like, 10?
It was in the morning.
Yeah.
And also, it was the same day that we were blocking the party scene where we were doing, like, an 8th grade style, like, grind train in this scene. And the person that was supposed to be, like, grinding up on me wasn't there that day, so Karina was in his place.
Yeah.
And we basically didn't really know each other, but had to be just, like,
slightly grind buddies.
And that's, I think, that's when it happened.
I remember when you were just like, oh, like, don't hold back, get up all on me. And I was like, oh, that was the plan. Like, like, you didn't have to tell me. Like,
she doesn't need your permission. Lady.
No.
Exactly.
She's going for it.
She did.
Yeah. Like, that was my, like, misogynistic man point of view for a second, where it's just like, get in first, apologize later. Like,
oh, whoa! You said a mouthful there, sister. Really political. I mean, hey.
So.
Okay, so we bonded over the grind train.
Yes.
And my nickname, which you had to call me that day.
Angel Tits.
Angel Tits.
Yeah.
Angel I still Tits. Have that on my chalkboard. It's a nice nickname.
And your hangover. That was kind of like a solidifying.
I was so hungover that day.
Yeah.
Seven IPAs.
I can't even begin to describe to you
Black
the situation.
Label.
But of course, this was the only rehearsal we had that was early in the morning.
Yeah.
And
like before Tuesdays with Maury.
It was bad.
Where did that nickname come from?
Oh, she had to call me that. It was in the
was
script.
That in the, oh, okay.
Yeah, it was in the script, and it was like, hey, Angel Tits. And I was like, Angel Tits. Like, that's going to be my nickname since I have to be like this guy grinding up on you. You're going to be Angel Tits.
Yeah, and obviously, your tits are very angelic. So
I mean,
it all works out.
I think they are. I think anyone who sees them needs.
They go right to heaven.
Sunglasses for their halos.
That's the first impression, yeah.
Uh huh. All right, so great segue. As stage manager, obviously, like, I've been in shows. I know what stage managers do, but I feel like it's a little bit of a thankless job, even though we're, like, trained to say thank you to certain things. I feel like there's so much that you do that goes beyond what people know. What's something that you, like, wish more people knew? Even, like, regular patrons who just come to see the show who have never been in a show, they obviously don't know anything. But even being in shows, I feel like there's so much that I don't know.
I feel like this is going to be such a typical stage manager response because any type of video or interview I read or anything about a stage manager, the first thing they say when people ask them that type of question is, I mean, as long as the show looks good, like, I don't care if people thank me. And that's so true, though. Like, if the show looks good, I don't care. Like, there's been a lot of nights when I've been up, Julia can attest to this, and I'll send the rehearsal of the performance report out at 3:00 in the morning because I was, like, either preparing something or doing homework or whatever and then just sending it out. So I've been in class multiple times, and I'd be, like, writing the performance report or rehearsal report because it's something I have to do. But I mean, it's not really thankless, though, because, like, the thanks is that you guys look good and the production runs well. So, it's not really, like, a thankless job. Like, don't get me wrong, it's a shit ton of work. Like, it is a lot of work. But it's also, like, the best, in a way. Like, it's super stressful. I always say all the time, I'm like, yeah, like, I had to get this second job during the summer, during the daytime, but I have a job I love. Like, I don't need another job I love. Like, I have a job I love that I go to at night, and that's always going to come first. So.
Yeah. It's one of those jobs where you always have to be on. It's not, like, I think of people who work at a desk, and I, like, not to diminish that, because I know, like, you never know what someone, what their job entails. But I feel like as a stage manager, like, you get there and there's never a moment. Like, if you are going through a personal problem, it just has to wait because there are so many other people relying on you for their lines, their cues, their questions, their blocking. Like, you always have to be, I remember, like, certain times where, like, people would ask you a question, and in my mind, I'd be like, oh my God, I hope she knows. Because I would never remember it, but you, like, would always have it written down. You'd always know who is supposed to be moving what. It's a lot to think about.
It's not easy. And if I don't have a response, that's why I have great people like Julia, or, like, also my other assistant stage manager, Gabby. They help me think. Because I don't always remember everything, and I'll be like, oh my, like, I don't even know how many times I've gone up and was like, I don't remember this. I thought I wrote it down, but I didn't. Like, oh shit, what am I going to do? Like, this is my job and blah, blah, blah. And they'll just be like, okay, first of all, calm down.
Yeah.
Like, it's all good. Like, you had us write this down or something. So it takes a village. Like, stage managing takes a village. So.
Well,
yeah.
You're awesome.
Thanks.
I'm super excited to work with you again.
Thanks.
Okay, now we're going to get to some good shit.
Ooh, all right.
So I was asking Karina a little bit about her upbringing before you got here because I didn't really know anything about her other than what I don't know. I didn't know anything about you.
You knew I was a stage manager. You knew I was a little crazy.
Which is all I really needed to know.
Yeah.
So I was asking her about her upbringing. And so Karina is the youngest of four. She grew up in Allentown School District all the way, which we're going to talk about. But she was just telling me that she was raised Jehovah's Witness. Wait, really? Is it Jehovah's?
Jehovah's Witness.
Jehovah's
mm-hmm.
Witness. Which I don't really, do you know anything about that religion, Amy?
Not a lot, except they used to come to the door a lot.
That's what I said. I said the only thing, like, I think people know is the people who come to the door.
Yeah.
So can you tell us about the actual religion and what it was like to grow up as one?
So growing up, I actually loved it growing up. It was probably the most comforting thing because everywhere you go, it's like you can go to another state or another country, and you're going to find another Jehovah's Witness, and you're going to be like, hi, I'm a Jehovah's Witness, and they'll welcome you, which was, like, I always thought was super comforting. But it's also, like, here's a little religion lesson. So everyone always asks, like, what does Jehovah mean? Like, what is that? So we believe God has a name. I'm going to keep using we because it's easier to use until I get into the later part of the conversation.
Yeah.
Like, God has a name and it's Jehovah. And everyone goes, well, you don't go to church. You don't, like, go to meetings. And we do. They're just, instead of churches, they're called Kingdom Halls. So we go to Kingdom Halls and we go twice a week. It used to be three times a week when I was younger. So we would go to that, and we learned, like, everyone about the Bible, about Jesus, and all that good biblical stuff. We also go to things called assemblies. So we go to two a year. We go to one in the fall and one in the spring. And then we also go to a three-day convention, which teaches us more and kind of updates us on, like, what's going on around the world and... it also introduces new literature, and all that stuff. And it's not just, like, our Kingdom Hall. There's different congregations and different circuits, and we all get together. Like, this year, like, my cousin, who is also a Jehovah's Witness, she lives in Baltimore, but she's going to be, like, at the same convention as us. So it's just, like, that we all get together, and there's over, like, 1,000 people. Everyone gets invited, and they learn about, like, the different things that Jehovah's Witnesses believe in. So, the religion itself isn't bad. Everyone's really nice. It's strict in the sense, like, my mom never wanted me to date. We, like, don't believe in living with a boy if you're, like, not married to them. Divorce is something that is frowned upon, like, unless you have, like, scriptural bounds, like, he cheated or, like, he beat you, you're really not allowed to get divorced. Well, you are, but you can't remarry until they sleep with someone else. So
is the person who sleeps with someone else first condemned?
Yeah, so if you get baptized, and, like, this is kind of what's different than other religions, baptism is like, a choice. You go over everything, and if you feel like dedicating your life, then you do. And then if you, like, let's say, I don't know, like, I walk in, I'm drunk off my ass, I'm cursing, and I'm, like, shooting up heroin, and I just, like, I don't know, have an orgy, then I'll get disfellowshipped.
It's a busy day.
Yeah. So if that all happens, then I'll get disfellowshipped, and you're not allowed to associate with anyone who's a Jehovah's Witness.
So you're, like, shunned.
Kind of, yeah. And, but if your family is also Jehovah's Witnesses, you are allowed to speak to them. If there's a family emergency, if there's something going on with you, but anything, like, day-to-day, you're not allowed to speak to them.
What?
So.
Do you celebrate Christmas and birthdays too? Is that?
No.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So it's like no holidays.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for each holiday, which I didn't think when I was growing up, but when I learned it, I was like, now that I knew there was a reason, it didn't make it okay, but it made sense. But, well, not really. But that's just me. Like, I get why they don't now.
So when, like, you'd be at school and they would have, like, the Halloween parties, were you not allowed to participate?
Yeah, I'd have to sit outside.
By yourself? Was there anyone else?
If there was another person who was a Jehovah's Witness in the class, then they would sit out. Or my friends would join me sometimes because, like, they knew me and they didn't want me to be alone. But besides that, yeah. Be alone.
Would you be mad?
No, because, like, I understood. And I didn't want, because the other choice was for the class not to have a party at all. So I was that kid who was like, no, I'll sit outside in the hallway and read a book and you guys can have your party, like, it's fine, so.
That's a lot to put on a kid.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but I also could have just, like, participated, but it's like.
So how, okay, so during that time period, I feel like right now, like, we live in a world, hopefully in my mind, where, like, everyone's very respectful, like, whatever religion you identify with, but, right. Like, I feel like even in the time you were growing up,
it wasn't great. Right. I mean, so we're not allowed to stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance because it's, like, the only person that we should really be, like, not, like, praising, but giving that kind of thanks and attention to, because it's kind of, like, giving praise to a symbol. and which we don't believe in. So we would have to sit down. And a lot of teachers, like, have sent me to the principal's office because of that. So, yeah.
What about the Star Spangled Banner?
No, none of that. Nothing political. Like, we don't get involved in any political type of things.
You don't vote?
Don't vote. None of that.
So, do you still identify as Jehovah's Witness?
I don't know. I don't. My brothers don't. My sister is baptized. She does. I have some family who does, and then my parents do.
But does that mean you're, like, you're not allowed to communicate with your family, like you were saying?
I was never baptized.
Oh. So you could choose to not
get baptized.
Practice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it's okay.
Yeah. I can still talk to my family.
Are they upset that you were never baptized?
Yeah. I mean, but I've always been so, like, firm in what I say. Like, I never do anything overnight. Like, I always think everything through. And I just told them. I was like, listen, like, I don't agree with this. Like, my sister's husband is a piece of shit. And they can't get, she can't remarry if they divorce because he hasn't slept with anyone. So I don't believe in that. I'm like, if I want to move in with my guy best friend, like, I'm going to do it. I have so many friends who are gay or, like, I identify differently or all that. And I'm just like, I fully support that. I'm like, I call my best friend and his boyfriend my boyfriends. Like, those are my gay boyfriends. Like, I love them to death. Like, I'm like, I've been attracted to women. I want to explore that one day. Like, it's things that get me so angry. And my cousin is disfellowshipped, and, like, we can't talk to her. Two of my cousins are. And we can't talk to them. I'm just like, that's bullshit. Like, that's my family.
So they don't support gays at all?
It's like, so, because my uncle is also gay. And a lot of, ideally, you're supposed to still, like, talk to them and treat them like, kind of like, love your neighbor. But they don't condone the act of them having sex. So, like, a guy and a guy having sex, a girl and a girl having sex, that's what they don't condone. Or, like, kissing, all that stuff, anything sexual.
So the only thing that's okay is if you are hetero and married and living together.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow,
really old school, yeah.
So, okay, at what age would you normally be baptized as a Jehovah's Witness?
You choose.
Any age.
Yeah, if you feel knowledgeable enough to make the decision that you want to get baptized, you can. So we've had people who aren't Jehovah's Witnesses. They come and they start a Bible study and they end up becoming a Jehovah's Witness, and then they end up getting baptized at like 50. So it doesn't really matter how old you are. It's your knowledge, what you choose, which is like the one thing that has kept me up until the point of 18, 19, of like, okay, like, this is something that isn't forced upon, which was different from so many other religions. It's like, mm-hmm. You have to get baptized as a baby. And I'm just like, when I'm a baby, I can't even speak.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Like, my religion was, like, before I could ever even make a decision, I was baptized in it.
Yeah.
And so I think that's, like, such a good point. It's at least, I feel like I always kind of had the misperception that maybe it was, like, a little culty, like, almost, like, Scientology kind of thing.
Oh, no.
And what you're saying, it's definitely more, like, you have more freedoms of, like, when you choose to do things.
Yeah, and it's also, like, and like I said, like, I'm just not religious. I'm not an atheist or anything, but I'm just not religious. I don't like the formality. I don't like going to meetings. I don't like the rules, like all that stuff. But I mean, for the people who do like that, like, that's great. Like, all the people I grew up around who I consider family, who are Jehovah's Witnesses, like, they're super nice. Like, they don't, like, they offer you a Bible study. You're not forced to take a Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, and if I say no, and I explain to them, like, why, if I'm conflicted, then it's okay. They still talk to me. They're so concerned about my well-being and all that stuff. So they're great people. It's just,
Damn.
For me.
That's so interesting.
If you had wanted to get baptized when you were a kid, could you have done that? Or do they make you wait until you are
No, yeah. Older? There's been, like, 7-year-olds who have gotten baptized, which was, like, what my cousin did, and then she found out she was gay. Well, not found out, but she, like, came into it. So.
But do you think that those kids who decide when they're so young are very influenced by their parents?
No, I think some are, but others, no. Because there have been kids who like, yeah, we go door to door, and some kids overhear their parents having a Bible study, and then they eventually join in, and then those kids end up getting baptized, and their parents sometimes fall away, and they don't, so, yeah.
Is the door to door thing a part of, the, like, the belief system, or is that just...
Yeah, because it's like, so, they believe in, Armageddon. And it's, like, one day, like, all pretty much all the bad is going to be wiped out.
Like, the second coming.
Kind of. And then, like, all the people who have ever, like, been a Jehovah's Witnesses, like, been a Jehovah's Witness, heard Jehovah's name, or is just good in heart, is going to be brought back to the earth as, like, a second chance to live in, like, paradise. So that's kind of, like, the main reason why they go door to door.
It's not trying to, like, get people...
It is in a way. It's just kind of just like, it's like education. Like, here, this is what we're about. You can read this, you cannot. But we want to let you know this is a possibility type of ordeal.
Yeah.
So.
It's so, I'm like really grateful to know about it because I do feel like, if I'm being honest, there's such a negative connotation with like, if someone comes and rings your doorbell and it's a stranger, I feel like you're always like, oh, it must be like a Jehovah's Witness.
Right.
So it's cool to know the background behind that.
Yeah, like I said, they're great people. I mean, if you have someone who you know who is like really into religion and really feel like they need to find God, I mean, sure, study with a Jehovah's Witness. But if you have gay friends and you feel like that might change your opinion of them, don't do it. Like, but it's all you. It all depends on the person. Like I said, I'll never bash it. I don't think I had a poor childhood. I loved my childhood. I think I had a great childhood. I mean, like, older siblings, and I'm a drama queen, and I was always stressed. But, like, that was just me. It had nothing to do with how I was raised in the religion. Mm-hmm. So,
So, about your childhood, though, you were sharing with me that your dad was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And an addict, but he got clean when you were pretty young.
Yeah, he got clean around when I was in elementary school because he started studying with Jehovah's Witnesses. So there is like a good, there is some good that can come out of the religion. Mm-hmm. And he got clean and he got all nice and sober and everything, which is great because like he wasn't great to my siblings growing up, because he was always, like, under the influence. He wasn't great to my mom growing up. Like, he never hit her or anything, but it was just, like, he was absent because he was always using or drinking. Like, he had a great job. My dad didn't go to college, but he got a job in New York at a great bank, at a government securities bank.
Wow.
And he's kept that career job all the way up until now. So it's not like he couldn't provide. He just used the majority of it for drugs, so, and alcohol.
Damn.
Yeah.
So, but do you have any memories of him in that way?
I mean, I remember my dad, like, smoking weed, but, and drink, like, downing half a thing of beer in a day, but I was just like, oh, he's a dad. Like, he was never, like, abusive or anything like that. He would just, like, knock out, and he's also like a cyclist, so he wasn't like not active sometimes, like because he would go to work and then on the weekends he'd ride his bike,
and he was like a functioning alcoholic,
yeah, so, and user, so
yeah. But then you feel like the like Jehovah's Witness is what like really,
oh, that's definitely what got him clean and got him better.
Damn.
Like 100%. We had like a rock because he kind of went to the extreme part of it, so he was like, this is the only thing that's saving me and my family. So he kind of got more, like, my mom's more laid back, like, she'll have a conversation with you, but, like, in my adolescence and, like, teenage years and all that, he would be like, oh, you're having a problem. Let's open up the Bible and see how we can figure this out. Mm-hmm. So I got to the point where I would just walk out the room because I'm like, I don't need the Bible. I need personal advice on what's happening, what's going on with my life. Like, a little background. In high school, I, like, was suicidal, and I had anxiety issues, and I had all these issues, and I went up to my parents, and I was like, hey, I think I'm suicidal. I need to talk to someone, and he opened up the Bible. And my mom looked at him like, are you crazy? And I walked out the room, because I was like, that's not what I need. I need my parents to talk to me. I don't need the Bible shoved down my throat.
Yeah.
So, which is weird, because my mom has been baptized since she was 18, and she's 52 now. So, it's like, she's been in it all the way, and he has it. Like, he was raised in it, but he wasn't, like, really in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Damn. Karina!
Wild.
All right, so you were Allentown School District all growing up.
Yeah.
So, hold on, let me see if I remember. Muhlenberg Elementary.
Well, I went to Dodd for half of kindergarten.
Okay.
But when I lived on the south side, because I was born in Newark, New Jersey. And then I moved here when I was 2 to the south side, and then I went to Dodd for half a kindergarten, and then I moved to this side of town.
So it was Muhlenberg, then Trexler, and then Allen.
Yeah.
So I was saying to Karina, and if you've listened to any of our other podcasts, we actually had the theater director from DRF on one of our most recent episodes.
Sarah?
Yes. So my mom works in the Allentown School District, so I've always been... I've always just been an advocate. Like, I hate reading the bad stuff in the news, and I've just, like, I've clearly had an unbiased, or I guess you could say a biased opinion, because I see how hard my mom works and how much she cares about her kids and all the really amazing things that come from it. So what do you feel, especially at Allen, I feel like Allen's in the news way more often than DRF, like, what do you feel... What was your experience like, and what do you feel are the most common misperceptions about it?
That's kind of wild what you just said about Allen being in the news more than DRF.
It is.
Because DRF is just as bad.
Well,
like,
I wouldn't
say... It's not as bad as in the fact that, like, I think... And I don't mean this, like, harshly, but, like, when you don't want your kids to go to Allen, but you still feel like you have your nose, like, not your nose up in the air, but, like, you want your kids for better, you'll send them to DRF. But DRF still has fights.
Oh, yeah.
DRF, like, you know, but it doesn't get in the news.
Right.
But, like, someone could sneeze at Allen, and then, like, I could sneeze on someone, and then they punch me in the face, and it's like, brawl at Allen, how dare, blah, and I'm just like... Like, my favorite story, like, not my favorite story, but I was, so, I went to Allen 2009 to 2013, and that was in between when they were doing all the construction, and there was that other building on the south side where they sent some of the freshmen.
Yeah.
So, I was, like, at that other building taking, like, all my honors classes, because I was so smart. Yeah. kind of. And, so I was there, and then it was like, oh, there was a shooting, and, like, this big, like, brawl at Allen in front of the main building. And my brother was a senior when I was a freshman, so I'm like, okay. So, like, I went over to my teacher, and was like, can I, like, use your phone? Because, like, we were just, like, on that level at that point. He's like, yeah, sure. And so, like, I called the school and had my brother, like, page to the office because I wanted to know if this was true. Because, like, I would have just went to one of our, like, family friends' house on the south side. So, I was like, hey, was there a brawl at Allen? He's like, what are you talking about? Like, nothing happened. And I'm like, okay, goodbye. It was at West Park, which is close to Allen. But, of course, it's like... Maybe one Allen student was involved, maybe. And they're like, it was at Allen High School in front of the main building. And I was like, no.
So you feel like it's, like, blown up a lot more than, like,
oh my
DRF
God.
Is.
The morning call, excuse my expression, like, but sucks Allen's dick so much. In the sense that it's like, oh, this great, we don't have any journalism in the report. Let's see what's happening around Allen or at Allen, and then just fucking blows it out of proportion. And it's so ridiculous, because when you're going there and you have friends who go there, then it's like all the parents are coming together and they're like, oh my God, my child. which I didn't understand when I was in middle school, because I actually didn't want to go to Allen. Like, all my siblings and all my cousins went to Allen, and I wanted to go to LVPA, because I was an art kid. So, like, I went, and I auditioned for violin and vocal, and I was like, yeah, I really want to go here. And when I found out I couldn't get in for violin because they were full, and I didn't get in for vocal because I needed a little bit more, like, attention to my voice, which I understood, but I wanted to try anyway, I was, like, devastated. And I was just like, hold on. Everyone I know went to Allen. Like, let me just go. So I went, and I loved my high school years. Like, I had some, like, hiccups here and there because, like, I was sick, but no one tried to kill me. No one tried to, like, shank me. My favorite story to tell is that my last year of when I was 17, which is ironically April 17th, I was like 17, and I was like, I need to get into a fight. This is my last year. I need to fight someone. So I was like, this is my last day. I won't get charged as an adult. I need to fight someone. And like at that point, like all the security guards and stuff knew me because I was that. My whole family were those type of kids who just befriended everyone. So sometimes if one of my friends or someone was in trouble or was about to get in trouble or got into a fight or was about to fight someone, the security guard would call me out of class, out of literally anywhere, and be like, you need to talk them down. And I'd just be like, you're a fucking idiot. Do you want to go to jail? Yes or no? Is this worth it? And then, like, stuff like that. So anyway, last day of my 17th year, I wanted to fight someone. So I, like, if you ever gone to Allen, like, there's this thing called the tunnel. So it's, like, it's packed with sardines. There's a million people. So I went in there during the busiest time and started pushing people with my binder and, like, yelling at people. And, like, when people wouldn't pay attention to me, I'd be like, yo, bitch, I'm talking to you. Like, and literally just physically aggressive all day. And no one fought me. So it's like, if Allen was that bad of a school, I would have gotten jumped the second the last bell rang, like, in a heartbeat. But it's all about the people you associate with. And no one makes it out to seem that way. They're just like, oh, if you go to Allen, you're going to die. And I'm just like, I mean, I went through 4 years and I didn't die. And I tried. So.
And I even gave it some effort.
Like, I really tried. So, I really, like, it wasn't a bad school. I stayed with the theater kids. I had, like I said, I had friends everywhere. Like, I had the people who got into fights and everything, but I was like, you're gonna go fight someone? I'm gonna hang out with the theater kids, or the art kids, or the band geeks, or whatever. So, it's all about who you associate yourself with, and nobody in the Valley used to care about that. We're getting there.
Yeah.
But back then, it was like, oh, you go to Allen. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I go to Allen with the bomb-ass chorale and the okay band and the super good basketball team. Yeah, you're damn right. I'm a canary. Like, I'm going to ride that wave all the way out.
Aw, Karina. So,
yeah, oh my gosh. Going to Allen was the best decision ever. I love the Allentown School District. I advocate for it often. I had a fire at my house when I was in sixth grade. And the Allentown School District was one of the first people to reach out to us while we were at the hotel. And they were like, what do you need? We're going to bring you guys backpacks. We're going to give you guys quarters for laundry. I was in a show at the time. And I don't know if they still do this, but like if you're in a show in middle school, then you get to go see a Broadway show.
Oh, cool.
So they were like, we're going to pay for your ticket. I got to see Phantom of the Opera for free. It was my first Broadway show ever. Because the ASD paid for it. And it was just like, they did all these wonderful things. Like, they tried to get me a new violin because my violin got ruined in the fire. And I was just like, I'm like, yeah, the ASD is bad. Like, since when? So, anytime anyone says anything about the ASD, I'm the first one to be like, come on, come at me. Like, please, like, please tell me how bad the ASD is because I will shut you down so fast. And all my friends from Parkland, I educated them right off the bat. I was like, no, this is how the ASD is. This is how Allen is. If you can't accept that, we can't be friends.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's honestly cool just to hear you even talk about Allen specifically because I feel like even just like Deer versus Allen, I always have kind of thought like that
in the news especially, like, Alan is way more there than Dearth is. Yeah. And so I even, like, I feel like I try and be really, like, neutral about it. But just to hear you talk about how, like, great it was for you is honestly educational.
It's the reason why I'm a stage manager.
Yay! It's why we're here, babe.
Like, come on. Like, give the SD some credit. Thanks, John Sekler. Thanks, Andrea. Like, thanks, Barbara. Like, all these people, like, on the Allentown School District helped me get to where I am. So, I will always, like, come to bat for the ASD. They could get a better superintendent, but they'll get there.
Wow, she's laying it on thick.
She is.
I love it. All right, Karina, you're a beautiful soul. We've, like, covered so much ground, but we always have two questions that we end on. Okay. Are you ready for it?
I'm so ready.
This has been, like, this has really come full circle. This has been a beautiful podcast. Amy, do you want to ask one?
Lucky number 12.
You always get so mad when I ask you to ask one of the final questions.
No, you can ask one.
I'll ask one and then you ask one.
Okay.
Do you know them both?
Yeah.
All right. This one's my favorite.
Okay.
What do you love most about yourself? And don't feel weird about answering because you're beautiful. I could name like 22, including your eyebrows right now. They look so good.
Oh my God, thank you.
And your earrings.
My eyebrow pencil broke this morning, so I used eyeshadow.
It looks so good.
I jokingly say this a lot, but I truly believe it because I have a general concern for everyone I associate with. I always say, like, I'm a good-ass friend, but, like, actually, I really truly believe that if I care about you, I show it, and I make sure you know that I care about you, and I make sure I'm concerned for your well-being. So I think that's probably my favorite thing, like, my care for others.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I can attest to that. You're a good-ass friend.
Thanks.
Amy?
Number two.
Yeah.
This is a fill-in-the-blank question.
Oh, shit. Okay.
You're going to ace it. If women ruled the world, blank. Fill-in-the-blank.
Everyone would be a lot more in tune to themselves.
Ooh. That's a different answer.
That is different. We haven't gotten that one.
No. In tune, okay. Just like... aware of
emotionally, physically, just all around, like, just more in tune to who you are and who you should be. I think if women ruled the world, that's what would happen. Not that men can't do it, but they haven't, so I feel like and I've had better conversations with women about, like, me coming to center with myself than I have with men, so I feel like woman move the world, that's what they would do.
Thank you, Amy, for bringing another female into the world.
Yes.
You're welcome, world.
Rhonda.
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 Maybe it's her middle name.
It's kind of old fashioned.
Karina Bowie, thanks for being our 12th badass babe of the Lehigh Valley.
Oh my God, you're so welcome. 21 is my favorite number, so I like that that was kind of reversed.
It is. Maybe like I'll have you back on my 21st. You can just be, like, a surprise guest.
Can we just, like, drink champagne the whole time?
For
sure. Like,
it could
be, like, a 21st birthday.
Yeah, just, like, be here for support.
Okay.
Thanks for sharing your story. It honestly is so interesting and beautiful, and I hope people are inspired by it.
I don't know about that, but I'm glad I could help.
You're here. We will be back. We have some people booked for the next couple weeks, some exciting people. So I hope you tune in and listen, and maybe Amy will be more pregnant and craving different flavors of combos.
That is a given. That's going to happen.
Bye. On behalf of everyone at Ladies of the LV, and by everyone I mean just me and Amy, don't be salty, Amy, I said your name. I would really like to thank you for listening, and if you like what you hear, please head over to iTunes and subscribe for future episodes, because we're going to have a lot of badass females on here. And by a lot, I mean hundreds, maybe even millions. Can anyone tell me the exact population of the Lehigh Valley? I don't know why I have to be so aggressive with numbers. Oh my goodness. Anyway, also, please feel free to visit veronicawithaglassofbubbly.com, where we have the podcasts and more blogs and fun things for you to read while you're sipping on a glass of champagne or the bottle. No judgment. We all do what we need to do.